a positive boon. I phoned the number and talked with a very brusque housekeeper, known as Mrs. Whibsey, of Nest Cottage, in deepest, darkest Sussex. I reported for duty the very next afternoon. Snow threatening in the clouds, I remember. The shortest day of the year was still a recent memory. And when I entered that rather nicely appointed dwelling, who do you think I should meet again? The doctor. Large as life and just as impossible. All over again. Looking just as he had done 30 years previously. Here he was again. An aggravating cross between Sherlock Holmes and the Mad Hatter. And no sooner had we sat down to dinner, but he had embroiled me in yet another of his outrageous adventures. True to his very special form, we spent the whole of the following night in the cellar, barricaded against the creatures that pleased themselves to run amuck in his home during the nocturnal hours. There the doctor availed himself of the opportunity to fill me in on some of his recent adventures, all connected with this current predicament. Back in the unit days, the brigadier could never get him to report fully on anything, not even what he'd taken from the stationery cupboard. But that night, as we sat there in the dark, he told me of this extraordinary pursuit he'd been on, chasing deadly alien hornets through Earth's history. Hornets, I ask you! Still, I should have known that he'd be involved in something to do with the end of civilized life on the planet as we know it. The doctor had erected a kind of invisible bell jar over his house, a force shield, keeping all the deadly creatures trapped within, along with all the things and beings they have possessed. Yes, dear listener, the doctor had trapped us inside with these terrible creatures. The doctor's tales were strange, even for him. Stuffed animals coming to deadly life. The dancer who stole the haunted ballet shoes. The old doll's house in which he became trapped. If I hadn't known him well, I'd have sworn he was making it all up. Then there was the circus where they made him put his head in the lion's mouth, and the woodlands filled with wild dogs and besieged nuns. And all the while he had a date with his enemies here, for the final showdown. Once the doctor's tales were over, dawn had arrived and we emerged blinking from the cellar to find Nest Cottage overrun by the possessed animals. It was a madhouse, with Mrs. Whibsey presiding over it all. Soon, however, as the morning brightened, the animals fell asleep where they stood, as was their wont. I didn't trust them an inch, however. Just by looking at them, you knew that something very nasty was going on behind their glass eyes. It was flattering that the doctor should think that I, his old colleague and the brig's second-in-command, could do something to help him defeat these horrible foes. But I couldn't help wondering why. Little did either of us realize that it was for the most unimaginably horrible reason of all.
Doctor Who, Hornet's Nest. Hive of Horror by Paul Mars. Starring Tom Baker and Richard Franklin.
Good King Wenceslas last looked out on the Feast of Freedom.
Morning, Doctor.
Ah, Mike. Better for a little wash and brush up, eh?
Indeed. Those creatures of yours and that Whibsey woman can be a little fierce, I must say. I felt like I was fighting for my life just getting out of the cellar this morning.
Yes, it's a good job the dawn had arrived. They're easier to pacify in the daytime. Tea?
Thank you. Now, what are we going to do about these hornet things? You can't go around hypnotizing everything forever.
First things first, Mike. I have here, on the table, one or two pieces of equipment from the TARDIS.
You and that police box. I wondered why I hadn't seen it about.
I've hidden it away from the further attentions of the hornet swarm. She's quite safe, which is more than I can say for the entire human race, should the hornets have their way.